Hello, this is Janet Gowan with Love Letters Live, and today's guest does something remarkable. I'm going to introduce Vanessa Sabarese in just a moment. I met her recently, and she is the force behind the Wishing Tree in San Francisco, but I thought it was kind of a nice, simple project. It's not only simple, it's not just San Francisco, is it?
It is spreading.
It is spreading. Okay, let's go. And then I thought, this is kind of a full-time consuming way of living, and it never occurred to me until this morning to ask you what else you did, and I understand that you are a marriage and family therapist.
I am.
So you talk.
Okay. I have been working with children as a marriage family therapist for 10 years, and I actually got really burned out. I was working with a very difficult population. And a lot of kids from the Tenderloin families, Bayview, Hunters Point, and I got overwhelmed and triggered by all the sadness, and I needed to take a break.
Oh.
Yeah, and I've dealt with depression ever
since. In your own life?
In my own life, yes, and since I was 13, on and off.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of got to a place where I needed something to help me fill the glass half full and see it half full. And I read a book called The Wishing Year by Noelle Oxenhandler.
Oh.
And it talked about her wishing for things that she truly wanted, not something altruistic. So she wished for a man, a house, and to publish a book. And they all came true within a year. So I thought, wow. Okay, I need this. And I basically, the holidays were coming up in 2011, and it's not been historically a fun time for me. And I thought, hey.
That's true of a lot of people who,
Yeah, it's kind of twists with your head.
Because it's requiring you to feel happy and joyous.
Yes.
And if you can't, why should you?
And then you feel doubly sad.
Right.
Because you are not, and then you have to fake it. So my wish was to bring a wishing tree to the neighborhood and try and bring some joy to my life. And I, at that point, was really isolating myself. I live alone. I'm a single woman. And I basically started this tree. I had my landlords help me fill the tree with white lights. I love sparkly things. So I decided that I would leave two jars in front of the tree, one that was labeled Wish, and another one that was filled with tags and colored pens, and I put a sign up, and the sign says, "Welcome to the Wishing Tree. Please make a wish and place your wish inside the jar that says Wish, and in the next few days, you'll find your wish on the tree." And this is something I found out after the first year. Something magical happens when we all wish in one place.
Oh, when we all do, there's a force or a power that gathers there?
Yes.
I can't believe that.
It's like it's almost like the energy of everybody's wish kind of makes all the wishes come true that much.
People talk about also the power of group prayer.
Okay.
And group mind activity.
Yes, I had never really experienced anything like that, and the group prayer concept, as well as the serendipity and the synchronicity that happened around the tree, the people that I would meet. Last year, I had a woman come up. A lot of people come up, my neighbors tell me, and they double park, and they run, and they make a wish really quick. And there was this one family that was doing it, and the woman looked at me, and she was in a rush, but she said, "I have to make my wish this year," because I'm going on the sixth year this year. And she said, "And last year's wish is in the car."
Oh,
and
baby?
It was a beautiful little baby. Yes. And so they brought the baby out.
How long did it take? You put the jars out one night. And
yes.
Then did you have something then the next day? Did it take people a little while to, how did that work? Where did you see your first wish?
So I saw the first
Did you leave
wish.
Paper and pens?
I do. I leave tags and colored pens.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while. And I was actually pretty shy about the whole thing. I would run out, grab the few wishes that were in there. It probably took a couple days to get the first couple wishes. And it was, and I didn't want to really let anybody know. I felt like a kind of a secret little fairy that mm-hmm. was running out to the tree and coming back.
You know, okay, you're the third little secret fairy I've met because Shannon Weber went out at night
mm-hmm.
and left love notes.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, excuse me, we had a wonderful guest named Angie Britsky who did the same thing. She sneaked out and put them in the SF Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, what is behind that feeling shy about it?
Well, I think for me, confidence has also been an issue in my life, and the Wishing Tree has helped me with that. At the same time, there's the element of secrecy and surprise.
Oh, that's a nice part.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So when people come upon the tree magically, just walking down the street, and they see this thing that they didn't see yesterday after I put it up, I think that it is intriguing, and it kind of brings the magic back to everyday life. And that's what I want to do, because the other part of this is that it's anonymous. And when you make a wish that's anonymous, you are able to say something that otherwise might be, you're afraid people are going to judge you for.
Oh, sure. You're less inhibited.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's really an important piece of it. So not only I think that I was wanting to do it in secret because I was a little bit shy, but also I think
respect for other people's anonymity.
Yes.
That's a really nice quality. Yes. Because all these things are a gift.
Yes, it is. And the thing that I was so surprised about, because along with my depression, part of that is it's been difficult for me to receive sometimes. And it's a gift.
To receive what?
To receive
love and admiration.
Love and admiration, that I'm worthy. And what's happened over the years is that the gift that I provided to the community has given back to me so much more. Every time I open that jar and I read the messages, half of them say, thank you. Thank you for this tree. And it seems like such a small thing to do this for the community. But these small things are the things that really touch people's hearts, and that's what we need to move
forward.
Are
you doing through this? I mean, I'm watching you as you speak and listening. Are you doing through this what you would like to have been able to do more of as a therapist anyway? I mean, you're letting people express themselves and hope for things and be their best.
Yes, yes. And I think also working with trauma, trauma for a long time has been a area where people have struggled to actually break through and actually heal. And I think for me in my personal life and seeing others, I think that there's a spiritual quality that touches and heals trauma. And what you'll see, a lot of these wishes are wishes for their parents to get cured from cancer, someone to get their sight back.
Mm-hmm.
And people are needing to tap into something bigger than just us here.
And to hope for the best without being shy about it.
Yes, and to hope for something that maybe they would be shy about if it was not anonymous.
Right. Now, yes. What happens then when you take the wishes out of the wish jar? What do you do with them?
So then I go back into my house. I'm not so secret about it these days.
Oh, good.
I hang out by the tree now, and I've met so many beautiful people. I go back to my house, and I laminate the wishes, and then I have these beautiful colored sparkling sequin ribbons that I string them to, and then I hang them up on the tree in the next few days. And the great part is that people have to come back to the tree, read other people's wishes in order to find their wish.
Oh, among the others.
Yes. And I think that's also what helps us.
How many
feel.
Do you get a day? It's kind of, I mean, do you get a significant amount? People are...
So at the beginning, it was maybe 2 to maybe 12 a week that first year. Then the nightly news with Brian Williams at the time, now Lester Holt, decided to come out, and they got wind of the tree through a small online news piece. After that, it was literally, I'd be careful what you wish for, because I was getting 70, up to 70 wishes a day. Mm-hmm. I had a wedding party come, a Christmas party come, and, you know, that was a handful of wishes right there. So it also became a meeting place with the Christmas party coming, the wedding coming after their marriage.
Now, when you say a meeting place, how did people do that?
Well,
what form did that take?
Well, so the people...
Oh, they come back to read their wishes.
They came back to read their wishes, but they also, these two parties delivered, they did all their wishes at their wedding or at the holiday party they were at, and then they brought them to me to laminate. So, and then they kind of all gathered around the tree, and it was just beautiful to see all these people celebrating. Not only that, they had there was a couple that proposed. There was a man who proposed.
Ask you about romantic matchmaking. Okay.
Yeah, there have been.
Have people met there?
You know, I haven't heard of people meeting there, but this one couple, I have little events at the tree sometimes, and they this couple came to me and they said, "We came here to tell you that you're a part of our love story. We had gone on a couple dates. We both were like, I'm not sure about this person." Then the woman decided, "Okay, I'm going to bring you somewhere today, and it's going to be a surprise."
She wanted more than he did.
I think they both were both kind of ambivalent about each other. And she took him to the tree, and he said, "What is this?" And they sat on the bench. There's a bench there. So that is another thing that helps people sit and contemplate life.
Gather their thoughts,
and then maybe meet somebody. These two people sat on the bench and started reading the wishes, and they said to me, "You know, that 45-minute time that we spend at the tree, we think that's when we started to fall in love."
Oh, they sat and got to know each other.
They got to know each other. Uh-huh. That I think that the wishes spark really rich conversation about life.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit and they told me that they were engaged. That had been a year ago.
So you've taken a big part in life here in San Francisco. I mean, you have a major role in some way.
I feel like I'm the neighborhood fairy.
Yes.
That
now more than the neighborhood, tell me how it's been spreading, because I see that book there called, why don't you just say what it is? It's this beautiful, huge, illustrated book, Valley Oaks Elementary Wishing Trees. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
It's a book, a photography book based on a school in Houston. A woman, this art teacher's mom saw the news piece on the nightly news and told her daughter, "You would love to do this."
So other people are following your lead.
Yes.
Do you go there and set them up, or they're just on their own? And
she did it on her own. Uh-huh. 600 kids. And then I went out there this year for the second annual Wishing Tree Extravaganza. And it was wonderful. The kids are so enthusiastic. It's an activity for kids that they can actually take a part in. It's not some prescribed lesson that they have to robotically go through. It's something that they could take ownership in. Their soul is a part of it. And there's also wishing trees. There are some wishing trees.
And how lovely how healthy to grow up knowing that you're entitled to wish for.
Thank you. That is exactly. I think that is you've just hit on my mission in life.
It feels like that is.
Yes, I think that it's...
Your mission, I mean.
Yeah, well, I think that adults will bring their kids there, and then they won't wish. And I'll say, "Hey, you know, you don't. What about you?" And they say, "Oh, no, it's for kids." And we need to be able to keep that hope and
wishing
that magic
is not
alive.
Just for children.
It's not just for children. No. And not only that, if you have children, modeling is the best way to teach your children. So if you keep that magical hope alive and impossibility, you never
and
know.
And you're calling it impossibility, but no, possibility.
Yes.
Yes.
It is. I mean, I think that you can twist it either way.
Right.
You can something that
oh,
you
you're
think,
saying, go ahead, you're entitled to wish for the impossible.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And you'll just never know. And I think, you know, sometimes wishes don't come true. And I think that's the part of it that is hard.
But that's a valuable lesson also.
Yes.
If every wish comes true, you end up what?
Well, maybe you take for granted. I mean, we need to
take for granted, spoiled, not formed.
Correct.
A whole bunch of bad things for every wish coming true.
And sadness is a sign of what we need to work on in life. So for me, when wishes haven't come true, I've been a little bit sad, depressed. At the same time, I've learned to open myself more and look, be present in the day and look for signs that will lead me to where I should go.
Yes, because if one wish doesn't come true, maybe that's an indication that you should be looking elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Or just be open because,
that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because your soul, maybe you, that was a head wish and not a heart wish. There's a little girl who was 4 years old and she brought her babysitter to the tree. Her babysitter never heard of the wishing tree. So she walked about 7 blocks and showed her babysitter to the tree. And so basically the tree is up in November and December when I collect wishes.
Oh, I see. So you don't have to be out there every single day all year long. That would be overwhelming.
Well, that's the thing. And it's a temporal thing.
Oh.
So what happened was, and then I keep it up until around March. It's kind of changes every year, but this little girl had come up when I had taken everything down, lights, wishes, and she said, "The wishing tree is closed right now, but that's so the wishing tree can grant all the
I'm
wishes."
Oh, I'm going to cry.
And I think that's the magic of it too. I think is that nature mirrors us.
Well, seasonal is important.
Yes. And it's hard. It's so hard for me to take those wishes down. I mean, I saw
when but seasonal highlights importance.
Yes.
That's why we have holidays, and that's what,
Well, and ritual.
That's what I meant, actually. Yes,
right.
Thank you.
Ritual and
it's a way of being aware.
Yes. And I think that ritual and something that this culture here in the United States has lost meaning is that it creates a space. I call it a place for space, and I mean inner space. And ritual creates space for us to allow
so you think we've
certain
lost,
things in.
You think in America we've lost ritual to some degree?
I know I have. I'm, you know, my mom's from London. My dad is third generation Italian. And a lot of those things that they practiced maybe way back, at least in the Italian culture, I know that has not trickled down to me. Mm-hmm. So I've had this yearning, this drive for ritual, for something magical. And growing up in an upper middle class white community, I yearned for that.
A lot of our things have become so commercialized.
Yes, that's another thing.
The meaning has disappeared. So I think in that way we have lost some ritual.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. And I think that's why I ended up starting this during the holidays, is because it really bummed me out that the holidays has turned into a gift finding mission versus just being able to contemplate why we're here and try and love the people that are around us.
You were going to read some, I think.
Yeah.
I see a pile of wonderful something over there.
I am.
Oh, the tags. I see.
These are the luggage tags.
They look like luggage tags.
Yes, they do.
Oh, so
they're
really,
nice and laminated.
So they're, oh, golly. I need a TV moment here. Okay. So I'm going to describe. I pictured, like, not scraps of paper, but, you know, from a writing tablet. Mm-hmm. No, these are just... They're uniform. I mean, they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like luggage tags, and they have a little punched hole in the end with reinforcement.
Yes. And what I do is I cover them with tape so that they don't get brained on. And the great thing is I get scribbles from little 2- and 3-year-olds, and those are my favorite.
Okay, read.
So this one, sometimes they're really simple. I wish I could go to a great high school and college. I have another one. I wish that humans can live together peacefully. I wish for mutant squirrels to take over the city and make all rent cheaper. I wish for mama.
That, by the way, I think we need to say, well, probably in a lot of big cities.
Yeah, I think so.
But in San Francisco, where people can no longer afford, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that one's one of those ones that feels impossible right now. I have another one that says, I wish mom and dad will not fight. So that's more of a child therapy.
Yes.
Wish where this child, perhaps, I imagine when I got that maybe this child didn't have a place to say that. And mm-hmm. I think, and that's the whole point of child therapy is that not that the therapist is going to keep any secrets with the child, but the child, if they're having a hard time in their environment, vocalizing, expressing what's going on for them, it can practice. And the tree was a place for this kid, hopefully, to practice. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully they're going to be able to tell someone.
Well, I was thinking also that maybe mom and dad would come and see this.
Yes.
Made public.
Yes. Yeah.
And be hit by a realization that their negative effect is farther reaching than they thought.
Yes. And it is, remember, it is anonymous.
Yes.
At the same time, maybe they would be able to say,
well, that would be
hey,
my wish,
like my
that mommy and daddy go see that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's, you know, the ones that are so heartwarming are the children's that are so altruistic. You can see this one. It looks like it's probably by a 5 or 6 year old. My family's health.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it says. And for a young child, I mean, this child is just learning how to write. To be able to vocalize
that's
that.
That's a sophisticated concept for a young child to be able to think. And so maybe there's something going on at home where there's not health.
That could be true,
you
too.
Know, yeah.
I also think that, have you heard of indigo children?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there is a different consciousness coming in, and I think that another piece of the wishing tree for me and hopefully in my life is that us adults create space in this very hard-driven, money-driven culture, which we need to live at the same time, give them space to have these other
sure.
energies or these other heart soul wishes come true so they can explore that side too. I think so often we're so programmed to run through life.
Now, you obviously, I shouldn't say obviously, ever in my life. Let me take that back. You want people to come by. So is your address and the location made public somehow?
It is. It's on my website, which is the-wishing-tree.com.
Mm-hmm. Or if people just Google the wishing tree, they would get to you.
They Google the wishing tree. I believe it's on Google Maps.
Oh, good. Okay.
I think it's even on some type of video game.
Really?
Yes. It's on Eureka and 22nd.
Okay. So you're public. I mean, it's not...
It's,
yes. Okay.
It's a public place. And
now, how do the neighbors feel about it? Because sometimes when there's something going on in a neighborhood that attracts a lot of commotion and attention and traffic,
mm-hmm.
people aren't so...
People have been pretty welcoming.
You would think.
I think also it's kind of something that people can bond over. Mm-hmm. I heard of two people that were at the local dog park. And they said, oh, I live next to the wishing tree. Oh, you know Vanessa. Yes, I know Vanessa.
Okay.
And then they spoke and they said, hey, we would have ignored each other if we hadn't mentioned the wishing tree.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a kind of a little place in the neighborhood marker where people can bond. And I think just because it is so full of love, you can maybe look at the glint in someone's eye and see, did they get it? And mm-hmm. if they get it, like... Okay, I think they might
so
be cool to talk to.
So it's given kind of a celebrity status anyway to that.
For the neighborhood.
Yes, for the yes. neighborhood. I mean, kind of a loving celebrity status. That's nice.
Yes, and I have to say that also with the temporal, the seasons, when I do take the tree down, I probably do it March 22nd this year at the beginning of spring. I wanted to say that while the wishing tree is going to be granting all the wishes, the bench stays there, and...
People can still come and think.
You can still come. And I think that I know that I feel most whole in nature. And I tell kids, too, there's a really beautiful knot in the tree that looks like an ear. And so I've told the kids that they can whisper into the tree because the tree loves to hear their wishes all year round. And I will see them lining up sometimes. There's a group of girls that are on a soccer team. Kind of fighting, nuggling mm-hmm. each other to get in and tell the tree its wish. And the day that I was taking the wishes down about 2 years ago, this brother and sister were walking down the street, and I saw the girl's expression on her face, and she just said, she literally gasped. She said, oh, no. And her brother kind of grabbed her arm, and he said, it's okay. It's okay. It's time.
For
the tree to come down.
Oh, yes.
I mean, now I'm just realizing that's kind of like, it's kind of like death, you know?
Well, like, you don't put up a sign that you'll be back or anything. I mean, it's just kind of a natural seasonal.
I do. I put a sign that...
So they don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, I think that I like to give gratitude to the people. Actually, I didn't do it at first, but someone said, you need to tell people goodbye. So I put a little sign that said, you know, thank you for everybody.
Now, isn't this just the most perfect segue into my usual question? That if you were to write a love letter right now, who would it be to?
Oh, that's great. You know, I have to say, I would write it to myself.
Good, okay.
Because I know...
That's one of the best kinds.
I know that I'm still struggling sometimes to be nice to myself and not to be so hard on myself. So it would be to me, and it would be for something to basically maybe receive the love of this conversation today and that you're witnessing me.
Which I sure am witnessing you. And, you know, it's very hard to sit out here and look at somebody who is not just doing what you do and giving so much to others, but just on the face of it, so beautiful looking and filled with light and sunshine and obviously intelligent, smart enough to know what you're doing in life. And, yes, you should receive. You know, you should write a love letter to yourself. That's excellent.
Okay.
And sometimes I say that one of the great things about love letters is that you should see yourself more clearly in life. That is, through the eyes of someone who loves you.
Mm.
And if that person can be you, so much the better. Because I think we all know that whatever mirrors we look at in life to see ourselves are usually a little flawed. You can't count on what you see in yourself all the time. So that practice of writing a letter, what would you highlight? What you've done in life?
I think I would highlight maybe what is going on right now. That for me to, for instance, right now with you, to look at the beauty in you, Janet, and see that you are witnessing me and mirroring me and showing me the love that you have for me. And in return, I can actually start to love myself a little bit more.
Oh, I hope you do, because that was in an instant when we actually first met. I mean, you have such a warmth and an inclusive nature.
Thank you.
You walk into somebody and your arms are open.
I try.
That's a gift to
everybody. Thank you. I've really tried. I've struggled. And I just know I've felt like an outsider a lot of my life. And I didn't have to. I think it was...
Nobody has to.
I think I've had to learn that the hard way, and the wishing tree is helping me.
Now, so then there's a love letter to the wishing tree.
Oh, I love that concept.
That you could mail to yourself. You know, dear wishing tree, I'm writing this to you, but I'm going to mail it to me.
There's
so many things to do. I was thinking when you said you know, when you shut the tree down, a love letter posted just to the people who come to make the wishes.
That's what it was, but yes. I didn't see it as a love letter, but it truly is. It's love and gratitude. I think they're probably
love letters
the same thing.
Are more often gratitude letters than romantic.
Yes.
You know, they're appreciative of something. I have one other question. Are your parents still living?
They are.
And what about a letter to them?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know anything about your life with them, so I shouldn't dive right in. But just sometimes a letter to parents saying, I am just fine.
Well, that's...
Especially to parents who might have worried about a child who was dealing with depression and feeling not so wonderful. That's very hard for a parent to see the person you love best not treating her well enough.
You've hit the nail on the head, actually, and I that would be great. And I know, for instance, that when I got things like this, when I get interviewed, I think my parents are the type of parents that like to see results. So you want to see that your child's successful.
You want to see that you did something right.
Exactly. And so they're more of the old school. They thought that probably the wishing tree was really beautiful and cute. It's when I get recognition from people like you, I think that they can finally maybe take a deep breath out and say, oh, she's going to be okay.
Yes. And a letter from you saying,
I told you so.
Yes. I'm fine, and I want you to know.
Yes, that I love you, and thank you for all your love. And you know, they have their battles, too. We're all just struggling, right, in our own way, and then thriving.
Right.
I do have a quote I could read.
Please, do it.
This was from a special man in Vermont that I just got to see again. I saw him last year, and he gave me this quote, and then he came back to visit.
What?
It says, it's by Johann Wolfgang van Goethe. Our wishes foretell the capacities within ourselves.
Wait, do it a little bit more slowly.
Okay. Our wishes foretell the capacities within ourselves. They are harbingers of what we shall be able to accomplish. What we can do and want to do is projected in our imagination, quite outside ourselves, and into the future. We are attracted to what is already ours in secret. Thus, Passionate anticipation transforms what is already possible into dreamt for reality.
So the wish you make may be the answer to what you know you can do anyway.
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I'm just so glad we met.
Me too. I'm so happy.
Goodness, you are such a part of my heart. All of a sudden.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that if you think you need a special occasion to write a love letter, don't let life lose its rituals. Writing love letters can become yours. Mm-hmm. And there's so many. If you just, every time you have a positive thought, and you just sit down and write it and mail it to somebody, that's kind of like a wishing tree. I mean, it's a regular expression of what you know to be true. And writing a love letter is a special occasion all its own, just like making a wish is. Those are so important. Thank you. I'm just going to be smiling forever.
Oh,
thank you, honey. Well, until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you later.